Well, there's an entire category of hymns that the church rarely sings anymore. In fact, some denominations have actually purged these type of hymns from their denominational hymn books. Gone are the songs like Onward, Christian Soldiers and Soldiers of Christ Arise. These songs have been deemed too militant for our day and age for the church to sing. However, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, the Apostle Paul challenges Timothy and challenges us to be Christian soldiers. He writes, "Share in suffering as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier gets entangled in civilian pursuits, since his aim is to please the one who enlisted him." Good soldiers of Jesus Christ. What does this mean? How do we live it out? Well, I think in our passage this morning, Acts chapter 19, verses 8 through 20, we see three actions of a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And these three actions will help us, or will keep us, I should say, from being entangled in the pursuits of this world. Let me ask you a question. Is your life more like a playground or a battleground? Notice in verses 8 through 10 of Acts 19, good soldiers, first of all, will boldly declare their beliefs. The scripture says, "And he, Paul the apostle, entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks." Notice two things about speaking boldly or declaring boldly your beliefs. In verse 8, we find bold declaration persuades. He entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. The word translated reasoning is the Greek word from which we get our English word dialogue. It has the idea of a give and take, an exchange, asking questions. I've just finished reading a book entitled Not Beyond Reach: How to Share Jesus with the Young, the Deconstructed, and the Non-Religious. The author, Aaron Pierce, shared an encounter he had in a coffee shop. He wrote, quote, "The barista had a pin on her shirt that read, 'Be human-centered.'" "Well, that sounds interesting," I told her. "What does that mean?" "Well, it means you treat other people like you want to be treated and consider other people's needs above your own." "Wow, that's awesome," I said. "Where did those ideas come from?" A little confused by the question, she looked at me and pointed to the pin, as if that's where those ideas came from. She was literally quoting scripture, but had completely divorced herself from it. It was a great illustration of the post-Christian shift in which people cling to a biblical framework they no longer acknowledge or even recognize. That's tragic, but it's also an incredible opportunity. There is still a point of connection with biblical truth for us to build on it in our conversations. Dialoguing. But then he says, persuading. You know, there's a word that has almost in our culture taken on a four-letter word type connotation. And that's proselytizing. I mean, you can persuade anybody about their politics or whatever else, but you try to persuade someone toward Jesus, oh, no, no, no. You can't be out there proselytizing. Well, I'm sorry, the Apostle Paul says, yes, 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 yes. He was persuading them. Years ago, I heard Bill Rice III. Some of you may recognize that name, others of you won't. An evangelist. And he defined the difference between teaching and preaching this way. Preaching is teaching with a view to persuasion. And so, bold declaration persuades. But notice in verses 9 and 10, bold declaration also perseveres. In verse 9, we see it persevering over opposition. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. Mark it down, dear Christian friend. Whenever you reason with people, ask questions, have this free exchange of ideas, and then try from there to persuade them to Jesus, you are going to experience opposition. Paul experienced it, and we should recognize the fact that we are going to experience it also. Jesus said it. He said, if they hated me, they are going to hate you. So reckon on the fact that you will suffer opposition / persecution. But not only does being bold in declaring our beliefs involve persevering through opposition, but notice in verse 10, it involves persevering over time. This continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Victor Villaseñor is a Hispanic writer who's a story in himself. Raised in Southern California, says writer Jorge Casuso, Victor Villaseñor was an illiterate worker because of dyslexia until adulthood. Then a woman in Mexico taught him to read. Ironically, he decided he wanted to become a great writer. While he worked for 10 years as a laborer, digging ditches and cleaning houses, his mind was free to think and dream up characters and plots. At home, he read voraciously, devouring more than 5,000 books. He memorized favorite openings and analyzed paragraphs and sentences, taking them apart to see how they worked. And most important, he started writing. He wrote 9 novels, 65 short stories, and 10 plays. He sent them all to publishers. All were rejected. One publisher sent him a rejection letter that simply said, "You're kidding." Incredibly, Victor was encouraged by that response, because at least it meant that the publisher read his submission. Kind of reminds me of Dumb and Dumber. "So at least I have a chance. You know, 1,000,000 to 1 is going to, you're saying at least I have a chance." Then in 1972, after 260 rejections, Villaseñor sold his first novel, which was called Macho. He then published a nonfiction work called Jury, People versus Juan Corona, an award-winning screenplay called Ballad of Gregorio Cortez, and the crowning work of his life, a two-part saga of his family called Rain of Gold, that took 12 years to write. With a lot of hard work and perseverance over time, on Villaseñor's part, God answered his prayer. It was Charles Haddon Spurgeon that said, "By perseverance, the snail reached the ark." Good soldiers of Jesus boldly declare their beliefs. Persevering through opposition, persevering over time, boldly persuading people to trust Christ as Savior. But then notice in verses 11 through 17, good soldiers of Jesus Christ will practically demonstrate their beliefs. It's been well said, belief determines behavior. In fact, that's not just a cute little expression. The Bible tells us that. Titus chapter 3, verse 8. The scripture says, "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things, so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." Belief determines behavior, but also behavior expresses beliefs. Now, notice in verses 11 and 12, sometimes God works through us in extraordinary ways. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Here we see Paul fulfilling his apostolic ministry, which was given to a select few. But even with Paul performing these miracles through the power of God, it says they were to him extraordinary occurrences. Sometimes God works through us in extraordinary ways. Other times, and we should say probably most of the time, God works through us in ordinary ways. James chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 declare that if a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, be warmed and filled," without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? He follows up in the very next verse 17, faith without works is dead. So if you're not capable of doing extraordinary works for Jesus' sake, Just be satisfied doing the ordinary, like the other 99% of us are. But then, oh, by the way, what do we say around here? Your walk talks, and your talk talks, but your walk talks louder than your talk talks. Behavior expresses our beliefs. In other words, what you are doing is speaking so loudly, I cannot hear what you're saying. That works in a good way, but also in a bad way, doesn't it? But notice in verses 13 through 17, belief exposes hypocrisy. Nothing exposes the hypocrisy of our lives or the hypocrisy of others than someone living out their faith. Someone whose belief is being expressed by their behavior. Now, this is a rather humorous account in these verses about the seven sons of Sceva, who goes to a demon-possessed man and says, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, come out of him. Right? The demon said what? Well, I recognize Paul, and I know Jesus, but who are you guys? And he whoops up on them, beats them up, and sends them out wounded and naked. Let me read it for you. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this, but the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you? And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Now, even though, I guess maybe I've got a perverted sense of humor, that causes me to chuckle, there is still a serious element underneath this account. And that is, Jesus will not allow his name to be used as some kind of incantation. What's the result of this event, this hypocrisy being exposed? Look at verse 17. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. They tried to drag Jesus down into some ordinary mystical incantation, and Jesus wouldn't have it. And on the other hand, his name was lifted up rather than dragged down. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ boldly declare their beliefs, practically demonstrate their beliefs, and in verses 18 through 20, thirdly, good soldiers of Jesus Christ will be radically devoted to their beliefs. Many of those, verse 18, who were now believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Radical devotion, friends, first of all, involves a severance. Why do you think in the military, when they first join up, they go to boot camp? It is with the purpose of turning that civilian into a soldier. They're severed from all former relationships and even their family because they are to become a soldier. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ involves a radical severance. There was a clean break with the world. You see, folks, Ephesus was a hotbed of occultic activities and idol worship. We will see more of that, Lord willing, next week. But 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 17 through 7, verse 1, tells us this: therefore go out from their midst and be separate from them, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing. Then I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Since then we have these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every defilement of body and spirit, bringing holiness to completion in the fear of God. You see, the problem with many believers, and it hurts me to say many, but I believe I speak truth, is their whole desire is just to see how close they can come to the world without stepping over the edge. See, Mary and Rachel are freaking out right now because I'm doing this. They're afraid I'm going to do a face plant. Right? But that's what, unfortunately, a lot of believers do. Rather than seeing God is calling them to holiness, which means being separated from sin unto God. And these believers got it. They took their books of magic arts and burned them. Well, you know, they could have had a used book sale and at least got some money and given that money to the church, right? Oh, yeah, and led somebody else down the path of the occult and demonic and idol worship. No, they cleanly broke with it. And that gives us the other aspect of radical devotion. It involves not only severance, but sacrifice. 50,000 pieces of silver. I had to look that up in a commentary. That was equivalent to 137 years of salary. And they sacrificed it because they were radically devoted to their belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Back when I worked in the... Oh, it's been a while since you've heard that. Just think, in less than 3 months, you won't hear any of my paint factory stories anymore. Scott will say, back when I worked at Cabell Huntington Hospital, so it'll just change occupations. But back when I worked in the paint factory, I was witnessing to a man by the name of John, one of my co-workers. And for whatever reason, and I don't even recall how it happened, our conversation turned to the matter of tithing. Now, that's not a subject I would advise you to include in your gospel presentation, okay? But for whatever reason, our conversation drifted that way, and he looked at me and he said, wait a minute, do you mean to tell me you give 10% of your income to the church? I said, yeah, at least that much. And he just walked away from me going, nuts. He's nuts. But you know what's amazing? People don't think a thing about giving 10% of their paycheck to go watch a pro football game. Hello, anybody out there? But for us to give to the Lord Oh, that's craziness. That's crazy talk. No. It's just a matter of where our priorities lie. The great hymn writer, Isaac Watts, penned a hymn that asks all of us a very profound question. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross? A follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause, or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Sing the amen with me. Amen.